إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
In total, we have 6 reasons that Ayatollah Jawadi brings as to why this Iyaka has been brought to the front. And they are very interesting. Some of them are slightly more intricate than others. And so inshallah, we're going to try and explore each of these. And the first two are the ones that you have mentioned. So if we look at the first one, we're talking about this idea of exclusivity. If you look at the translation usually, what does the ayah get translated as? It gets translated as, you alone we worship and you alone we seek help from. Where is that alone coming from? That alone and this idea of exclusivity is coming from this idea that we are bringing this pronoun to the front now. We are not keeping it at the end of the verb. So, in other words, what we are saying is, rather than saying we worship you, we are saying you it is that we worship, meaning no one else. And the same thing for asking for help. We're not just saying we ask help from you. We're saying that you it is that we are asking for help from. And that is why we put that alone in. So that's the first idea. And if we look at other verses of the Holy Quran, they actually bring this out in words. So one of the verses that we have, لا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا. We worship none but Allah and we do not ascribe any partner to Him. The idea of bringing the Iyaka at the beginning gives us that exclusivity that we worship you and none other. We don't give you any partners. Even the second verse, if you look, لِنَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ. وَحْدَهُ meaning alone. So this Iyaka has the same effect as these two verses by trying to show this exclusivity that it is only Allah and none other than Allah that we worship and seek help from. And we'll move into the seeking help, inshallah, towards the second half of the session. The second reason is what the brother mentioned just now, and that is the idea of true tawheed. There's a general rule in Arabic that when we speak or when we say something, usually what we want to do is bring that which is most important to the front. That's a general rule in Arabic. So even when we're reading something, if it's written in eloquent Arabic, that which we need to focus upon will be at the front of the sentence, and that which has less focus is brought later on. So what this is showing us is that Allah is the one that we want to have focus on. However, there is a deeper understanding to this, because it's not just a convention that because the Arabic language has it, that's why we are doing it. What we want to understand is the deeper meaning behind bringing something to the front and giving it importance. And this, we can relate to this idea through understanding the mulk and the malakut. When we see, for example, in the Quran, Allah says that for Allah is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. The word often used is the mulk. The mulk implies that kingdom and usually refers to the lower level of the kingdom. The lower level of the kingdom is this dunya, for example. Now, when we see something in this dunya, let's say, for example, we saw a tree in front of us, or we saw an animal walk by. The first thing that comes into our mind when we see that thing is the whatness of that thing. And we may have mentioned this before. After a bit of thinking and realizing what it is, because of our faith in Allah, we say, look, this may be a tree, this may be an animal, but it belongs to Allah. And the idea of it belonging to Allah in the realm of the mulk is usually secondary, because we're more, the thing that is more apparent for us is the whatness of that thing. However, we have verses that tell us that there is another realm beyond the mulk, which is the malakut. And this malakut has been shown to the likes of Prophet Ibrahim, for example. So it's not something that we just see after our death. No, there is a higher realm that exists right now, and we are able to access it through servitude to Allah, through self-purification. And Allah grants that to His chosen servants. What is different about the malakut compared to the mulk? When we hear, for example, Imam Ali alayhi salam saying that I do not worship a God that I do not see, or anything that I see Allah before it, for example. This is an understanding of the malakut. In the malakut, the first thing that we see is Allah. the first thing that we see is that this thing, whatever it may be, belongs to Allah. That association with Allah is that first thing that comes to our understanding in the realm of the malakut. After that, then, for example, we would see that what it actually is. And so this ontological concept of seeing Allah before seeing that thing is what is being brought over here as a deeper understanding of why we bring Allah to the front, even in our words. Those words and the ordering of the words is supposed to reflect the level of our understanding of Tawheed, where we are trying to see Allah before everything else. Are there any other verses that help us to understand this? We see, for example, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. So he is, not only is he the first, but he is also the last. Not only is he the apparent, but he is also the hidden. Now normally when we say, look, you can't see Allah, what does that mean? That means we can't see him through the eyes that we have, the physical eyes that we have in our bodies. However, he is also the Zahir. So what does it mean that he's the Zahir? How can he be so apparent if I can't see him? This is referring to a different vision that we are supposed to develop, where we start seeing Allah through the eyes of our heart, and we see him before we see other things. We do everything for his sake before we do anything for anyone else's sake. And so this ayah is also indicating to us this idea of seeing Allah first, keeping Allah first. This other verse that I have brought requires a little bit of explanation. It reads, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Soon we shall show them our signs in the horizons and in their own souls. So there's signs on the outside and there's signs within us as well. Until it becomes clear to them that he is the real one. He is the real existence. He is the haqq, the truth. أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Is it not sufficient that your Lord is... Now here the Mufassirin have two interpretations. Is it not sufficient that your Lord is a witness over all things? Or is it not sufficient that your Lord is witnessed before all things? So this word shaheed. Shaheed, if we look into it, it could have one of two meanings. It could be the shahid, the one who witnesses other things. And we'll see this in some of the tafasir. But in other tafasir, the explanation is given that he is actually the mashhood. He is the one that is witnessed before everything else. Ala kulli shay, this ala is showing precedence before something else. He is the one that is witnessed. Now, what does it mean that he is witnessed before something else? We gave the example of that by looking at the realm of the malakut. But let me give you another example that might help to understand this, even in the physical world. When I say that I see something, I'm seeing a screen over here, I'm seeing your lovely faces over here, what is it that I'm actually seeing? Am I actually seeing your face, or am I actually seeing the light that is reflecting from your face? And then it is the light that bounces off your faces into my eyes that allows me to see the objects and your faces and the screen and everything else that I see. In other words, the actual thing that I'm seeing first is that light. And because of seeing that light, I am able to see the other objects. Allah is telling us here in this verse that this is a similar concept to what we see with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything that is out there is only visible to us because Allah exists. It is everything in this world is fully dependent on the existence of Allah, such that it is His existence that enables us to see everything else. And this may be one of the interpretations that some of the scholars have given as to why Allah is called Nurun Nur. Now, it obviously doesn't have to be in a physical way. But if we were to look at it in a physical way, that means that even that light that enters my eyes first so that I can see you, I am seeing Allah before seeing that light, because He is the Nur of that Nur. So in other words, the idea of bringing the pronoun at the front is a manifestation of this true Tawheed, where that which I say is reflecting a reality that I'm hoping to achieve, and that reality is trying to see and witness Allah first before witnessing anything else.